This is HPR episode 2707 entitled, TED Analysis 101. It is hosted by first-time host Edward Miro, and is about 14 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, TED Analysis is the process of identifying the presence of, and decrypting, steganography.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello folks, Kay Wisher here to remind you that it's that time of year again. Time for the Hacker Public Radio New Year's Eve show. For those who don't know, on New Year's Eve, December 31st, 2018, at 10 a.m. UTC, that is 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we will have a recording going on the HPR Mumble server for anyone to come on and say Happy New Year and talk about whatever they want. We will leave the recording going until January 1st, 2019, 12 a.m. UTC, that will be 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, or until the conversation stops. Please visit hackerpublicradio.org to find all the details and links about how to set up the PC Mumble client, your favorite mobile app, the mobile server connection details, our Etherpad show notes, and the live audio stream if you only prefer to listen in on the lively banter. So please stop in and say hi, and maybe join in the conversation with other HPR listeners and contributors. It's always a good time.
Hello and welcome to Hacker Public Radio. I'm Edward Miro and I've been a fan of HPR for a while now and really love its collaborative and random nature. It's always been important for me to support the hacking community. I always take any opportunity to give back to this community who has given me so much throughout the years. And I've always subscribed to the idea that the best way to learn something is by teaching, and I hope to do a good job for you today. This talk is on the mystical art of steganalysis, which is the process of identifying the presence of, and decrypting, hopefully, steganography. Well, personally, I'm into hacking, but I'm not a professional hacker. Usually I call myself a hobbyist. I like CTFs, or capture the flags, crypto challenges, stuff like Vulnhub or Over the Wire, things like that. And I'll provide some links in the end if anyone is interested, but for those who aren't familiar, a CTF or Capture the Flag, it's a kind of game that helps you get better at hacking. These days there are tons of VMs that are set up to be intentionally vulnerable to different techniques or attacks, and you load the VM and pretend it's a server you want to attack and follow your standard hacking protocols. Some are set up to be boot to root challenges, where you win when you get root, and some are set up with flags that you can find hidden throughout the target, and they're worth various points. And there are in-person and online CTFs, and they've gotten pretty popular, with the National Cyber League being a major competition. Some are easy, some are really hard, and most have really good write-ups that can teach you so much about InfoSec, penetration testing, and actually let you practice the techniques in a relatively easy and legal way. Where steganography comes into this discussion is that it's an element you sometimes see used in these kinds of challenges I mentioned previously, and also in alternate reality games, online recruitment challenges by national agencies, big tech companies, militaries. They're even used in the real world espionage and intelligence work, or super spooky secret challenges like Chiquita 3301. YouTube that if you want to be spooked out for sure. Simply put, steganography, and I'm pasting this straight out of Wikipedia, is the practice of concealing a file, message, image, or video within another file, message, image, or video. Steganography is used to hide secrets in plain sight. It's a way to send a message without anyone detecting that a message is even being sent. I'll give you more examples in the next section, but imagine a letter that has a secret written in invisible ink. Excuse me. Only the sender and receiver should know about the invisible ink, and any eavesdroppers should be none the wiser. This simple example has been used by countless prisoners whose mail is routinely read and examined. Terrorists and spies the world over also use steganography and are known to embed messages in images and post them online. And with how many image hosting sites there are, with millions of people posting to them billions of images day in, day out, you can see why steganography can be such a challenge to combat. And before I move on to some more specific examples, I want to stress again that I'm not an expert on cryptography or steganography, and while researching this for this podcast, it's overwhelmingly clear that you could spend your whole career focused on only steganography, and this talk is just a primer on the subject and only the tip of the iceberg. So, some examples of steganography that you might be familiar with, it actually goes back into antiquity with Roman soldiers having their head shaved and a message written on their head, maybe tattooed, and then sent to deliver the message, and their hair grows back covering up the message, and, you know, they can't, if the enemy doesn't find the message, then, you know, they make it through, and then, you know, hiding it in plain sight, using invisible ink, using knots tied into ropes at certain frequencies, like, you know, imagine Morse code, people hiding messages under the stamps on envelopes, using a mixed typeface, using a grill cipher, which is where you think of the picture of a page of text, and then someone holds a card over it with holes cut out in specific areas that, when placed over the text, only reveals certain letters, and a message is hidden within the larger text. People have been known to send messages via newspaper classifieds. You know, if you want to be able to communicate to a clandestine agent and you can't meet him in real life, you can write a newspaper classified ad and with a title or a piece of text that only the agent would recognize. And, you know, you could decide beforehand what words mean what. And millions of people might see these classified ads and have no idea that their message is being sent back and forth. These days with technology, now we have a lot of digital steganography, and this is kind of what we're going to be focusing on, at least the steganalysis portion of it, that is. Using the noise or the metadata, the least common bit, to hide information in images or sound files, commenting out text, like, you know, in a source code for an HTML document or any other type of code. If you were just to look at a website, you know, you could hide a message in the code that's commented out that, you know, unless you viewed the code or viewed the source, which, you know, it's a common technique that we use when we're playing CTFs or trying to practice our hacking. Always check the source code for things that are commented out. Sometimes these are intentional steganography, sometimes accidental. Using different colored text, so you can imagine a website or a document, and they just select a piece of text and change it to the white color, and, you know, most people who browse and look at the document aren't going to think to do select all to look for hidden text that way. And this goes on and on and on. And the possibilities for how the philosophy of steganography can be implemented in the real world. So when we're doing our CTFs or crypto challenges and we're presented with an image or a media file, well, we're pretty sure, well assured, there's something in there, though not every image you find while doing a challenge or CTF will utilize steganography, so you could possibly overanalyze. Though, you know, we're assuming that we're doing a challenge, steganography is known, so you got to be careful. I've known people who are really into alternate reality games, and they spend hundreds of hours doing spectrographic analysis. And for our purpose and the scope of this podcast, there should be some clue that steganography is being used. The challenge then becomes how we direct our workflow as to not waste any time and be the most efficient in cracking that part of the puzzle. And there are many Stego tools out there, and some of them are homebrewed, and unless the designer puts a clue into the challenge, you could spend hours trying different algorithms or tools. And even if you do have steganography, there's no guarantee you're going to get anything out of it if you don't know which tool is used or which process to decrypt. And a lot of the tools that we'll be mentioning here in the next section rely on fingerprinting, how known algorithms process data. And this is not only a big problem for hackers like us with our CTFs and silly games, but even more so for governments who are charged with keeping us safe. So if you're looking at possible steganography, you need to build a good workflow. And I noticed a post on Reddit a few weeks ago with a user asking about image forensics. And there was a comment posted that was so good, I forwarded it to all my hacking friends and inspired me to do this podcast. And I'm using the comment as a potential framework for my own personal work with images and steganography. And it helped me to develop my own kind of protocol. And I wanted to share it with you all. And if anyone wants to expand on it or improve it, please do so. And let me pull this guy's name up here. His username is Alex E-N, A-L-E-X-E-Y-E-A-N. I asked him if it was cool if I shouted him out on here and used his comment, and he was totally down. So I just wanted to give him a shout out. Pretty cool comments here, but so this is coming straight out of the post on Reddit, and I thought about rewriting it, but it didn't seem necessary, and I'll be giving the author full credit. So I added a couple more tools on at the bottom and a few closing thoughts. So here's what he says. I'm not going to get into the tools very specifically. Like I said, I'm going to be providing all the text for this, so you can look into it. And you know, each tool has its own man page, and you know, or you guys are smart, you can Google it. Okay, so first, just look at the image, and maybe it tells you something important. You know, maybe there's something obvious. Like I said, if this is part of a CTF or a crypto challenge, you know, it's there for a reason. Maybe it's something's very obvious, like the context of the picture could be relevant. You know, maybe there's something written in the background, you know, who knows? So don't look past that most obvious level. Use binwalk to check for other file type signatures in the image file. Use the EXIF tool to check for any interesting metadata. Use stake solve, switch through the layers, look for abnormalities. Maybe the flag is part of the least significant bit, or is some kind of QR code hidden in there. You know, maybe there are random pixels that look strange in a certain layer, and you know, that's a hint for bitstego. Use ZStag to automatically test the most common bitstegos and sort by, you know, all the different results. You know, that one, he says here, this one solves about 50% of all image stego challenges. And if the file is a PNG, you can check if the IDAT chunks are all correct and correctly ordered. Check with the strings tools or parts of the flag if you found, for example, in quotes, CTF, squirrely bracket, you know, whatever the nomenclature is for the flag, see if that's in any other positions, or see what that is on any other chunks. The harder ones can be a lot more tricky, though. JPEG coefficiency manipulation, frequency analysis. But usually those are frowned upon because they require a lot of guessing, and if no hiding tools provided, you know. And then some of the other go-to tools that weren't mentioned that I like to look at, or at least, you know, have in my arsenal, Stake Detect, the Digital Invisible Ink Toolkit, Stake Secret, iLook Investigator, that's one for law enforcement. And one thing you need to remember is that detecting steganography is kind of hard work. For the purposes of CTFs or steganography, there are going to be some pretty blatant clues as to what tools you're going to need. If not, it's going to be one of these major ones, and this workflow I think is really good, so I'm going to start using it for any challenges that I do. There are computer scientists who only do this. Like, while we aren't at that level for the information being presented here, it will require a lot of digging and trying different tools. Hopefully following these steps will help identify the more common techniques in an easier way than just trial and error. You know, when I first started working on these challenges, I would have an image or a file, and I wouldn't know really where to start. And finding this post really kind of helped me put together this checklist. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm all about checklists. And you know, I thought I'd share this with you guys because it helps me a lot. One last thing I want to mention is that part of how I see detecting steganography and CTFs or crypto challenges is having a certain mindset and always looking at things in various layers. I try to look at everything within the challenge as if there could be something right in front of my eyes. I mentally flip through different layers and see the codes within the codes. And I'm really good at finding patterns, which I'm sure most of you are as well if you're into this kind of stuff. And you know, it's important to find a good balance where you're not seeing patterns where they don't exist, but you're also not missing obvious clues. And remember, if you're playing an alternate reality game or a CTF or a crypto challenge, generally speaking, the designers want you to play through the game. They will leave clues if you need them. They want the players to get to the end, so don't spend hours doing spectrographic analysis on, you know, things that aren't obviously part of the challenge that you're working on. Don't overthink things. Well, that's all I've got for today. I hope you enjoyed this podcast and got something useful out of it. Like I said in the introduction, I'm Edward Miro. Have fun, good luck, and have a good day.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.